back to the top of the slide, and I stop and I turn and I go for a ride, and I get to the bottom and I see you again. Yeah, yeah. But do you, don't you want me to make you?
Hey everybody, Thursday night, and here we are. I'm Jick. With me are Hot Stuff and Riff.
Hello!
How you guys doing?
Doing good, doing well.
Yeah.
Blackberries are on sale for $1 a thing, so I'm eating blackberries like there's no tomorrow.
I thought you meant like the phones.
Yeah, they're $1 a thing.
I saw some special deal somewhere about buying one BlackBerry, getting one free. And at first I was like, why the fuck would you want that? And then I was like, oh right, there are people with like friends.
Or, well, businesses, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds more like an enterprise kind of thing. But
right.
I would not buy my friend a BlackBerry. Like, I feel like that's a pretty presumptuous gift. Like, here's something that either you'll really like, but you probably would already have one if you did. Or you won't at all, because that's just not the way your life works.
Right. Hey, speaking of Enterprise, have you guys seen Star Trek yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I quite liked it. I did a little blog post. I even made a little Photoshop for my blog post.
What is your blog again?
Would you like me to say the address
Sure.
of my blog? It's minimumsafedistance.org.
I see. I was trying to make that slightly more subtle, but that didn't work at all.
So, you guys have anything to add? Did you listen to the Monday show?
No. I looked at the.
Transcript.
Did I look at the transcript?
I read
for
the
Monday?
Transcript.
I usually do. I feel like I did. But I don't remember anything.
I sometimes read the transcripts to our own shows, and I'm like, "Wow, we just don't say anything useful at all." Because there's a lot of stuff in parentheses, which is like,
yeah.
He'll like condense like 10 minutes into like,
yeah,
they talked about rabbits or something.
Yeah.
Wow, and there'll be like a parenthesis about parenthesis.
It was weird because that's also I read one of his transcripts of Mice and Men, and it had the same thing. There were a lot of like parentheticals talking about rabbits.
That was a sad, sad story.
Yeah.
It's even sadder parenthetical.
So, yeah, what have you guys been up to besides seeing Star Trek? What'd you think? You liked it.
I liked it a lot. It was I'm eagerly anticipating new ones. I thought they were a little heavy-handed in the one scene where they're all like, "You mean time was changed? Everything's different now? All our lives and futures are going to be totally different than they otherwise would have been?"
Well, okay, so I was annoyed from the previews. I was annoyed from the previews about how it was obvious that they had changed things from the original timeline. I was like, what are they doing? And so they explain it, you know, pretty, you know, sort of over the top, sort of heavy-handedly. But what I'm afraid of is that they are setting a precedent for any sort of paradigm of whatever, that all they have to do is say, oh, we had some time travel, and now we can just reboot the whole concept and do it over again. You know,
you're talking about for other properties or
any property, yeah.
Well,
anywhere.
Like, I don't know. This
why not? You know, I mean, Battlestar Galactica did that to great effect, right?
But they didn't. They weren't saying this is in the same universe. They just redid it, which I'm actually much more okay with. I would be much happier if they had just redone.
Okay,
Star Trek.
But it didn't take. I mean, Star Trek ostensibly takes place in the future of the real world, right? So you can't.
Sure.
KMD was pointing out today that Kirk, and the little kid Kirk, was listening to Beastie Boys on the car stereo.
Yeah.
And the Beastie Boys have a lyric which is "a pinch on the neck for Mr. Spock."
That's kind of meta.
In that song, or
no? No, different song. Yeah, that's Interplanetary. It has that line, and he was listening to Sabotage. Right. But
you know, I don't. I'm just worried that J.J. Abrams in particular is extremely fond of time travel, right? And so I don't know. I'm just worried that this is going to cause a spate of like property like reboots.
Maybe
some of them will be great. Like,
I could see that it would get out of hand, but this whole thing was really touted as being a big reboot. I don't think people would be willing to do it casually.
You know, like we could do MASH again, but we'll do it through a time travel so that the whole course of the Korean War could be different, funnier.
Whoa, is he involved in some sort of Dark Tower movie project?
I don't know.
Are you looking at the IMDb?
I'm looking at IMDb, but it says, yeah, details only available on IMDb Pro. So I guess we figured out what IMDb's revenue model is.
There have been a lot more of things that I've wanted to find out that I couldn't find out because I don't have IMDb Pro. I couldn't edit my own IMDb page, for example, without having IMDb Pro.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You have an IMDb page?
So do you.
Yeah.
I do?
You're in a movie, man.
Oh my god, I guess you're right.
Yeah. Whoa, welcome to the real world.
it's got that fake bogus name that you hate, though. And it says that you're from Venus. Your dad submitted details about it. There's like pictures of you in the bathtub as
my dad gets an IMDb Pro account, and I'm in so much trouble.
Anyway, you guys been playing any games?
I've been playing a bunch of games. What have I been playing? I played half of The Path, which is that sort of indie, very artistic Little Red Riding Hood remix. And it's pretty creepy. It's kind of okay. It's very hunting the Easter eggs kind of thing. And walking around very slowly in the woods.
Like point-and-click hunting Easter eggs?
No, it's like literally like an Easter egg hunt. Okay. You're like walking through the woods and looking around and looking for the shiny things.
Huh.
And there's like little common shiny things that if you find six of them, it will give you like on the edge of your screen, it'll give you a compass-style icon to direct you to one of the important shiny things.
Huh.
And then, yeah, you have the... and the goal for each of the six characters, who are all little girls of varying ages from, I estimate, about 8 to about 17, is to find, like, the three important items for that character, and then find the wolf who kills you.
Huh.
And then it ends with you arriving at grandma's house and going through, like, this first-person, really sort of nightmare world tuned to that particular character.
Huh.
It's very well done.
So you played three characters worth of it?
I've played three characters worth of it, yeah. Huh. I'm not sure I would call it fun, but it's well made, and it's very interesting and spooky.
Huh.
I also played the demo of the new Puzzle Quest thing, and I thought that was pretty good. And
I couldn't get the demo of that to run on my laptop, but
I can't think of it.
I bought it real quick for the DS, and I've been trying to play it, and I'm very confused. Like, I seem to be winning and, like, conquering territories and shit, but, like, I just, in the battles, I have no idea what the fuck is going on. And I read the instruction manual, and it's useless. Like, it doesn't... Okay, so, Riff, you play it some. Uh-huh. What do the blue and purple things do?
I imagine that they're... Okay, well, I think that any color of mana that doesn't get eaten by one of your soldiers goes to your hero. And that becomes mana that you can use for spells that your hero will eventually acquire.
But it doesn't show you how much of it you have or how much anything...
It does, though. Oh. There's a thermometer next to the hero's pick. Yeah, it doesn't show you costs, I don't think.
Okay.
But it shows you a thermometer next to your hero's picture that goes up, and when you have enough to cast a spell, the spell highlights.
So,
at least in the PC version, I don't know how graphically,
limiting yourself to minions that only used a single color would make you less likely to be able to use the minions, but you'd get a lot more mana for yourself.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, so if that's what that number under the thermometer means. The only time I looked at it and noticed it corresponding to anything, it corresponded to my level. And I thought from Puzzle Quest, like, oh, maybe purple is experience, right? But I guess it turns out that purple is just purple.
Yeah, you don't seem to get experience or gold from playing the game the way you did in the original one. I think it's just for every encounter, there's a set amount of gold and experience that you'll get from that encounter.
It reminded me of something that I now know to be true. One thing that I never, ever want to see again is goddamn dithering.
Hmm.
And I don't think that there is ever going to be another piece of hardware that needs you to put fucking dithered images on it. Right? 256 colors, that's as many as you can distinguish visually. So... if you have 256 colors, which the DS does, you don't need to put a goddamn dithered image in the middle of anything.
What do you mean that 256 colors is all you can distinguish visually?
Yeah. You're gonna say that isn't true, but...
I can't imagine that that's true.
I don't think that's true. It might be true for you.
Dang,
I mean, like,
yo.
I feel like you could put up a color map of 256 colors and then say, here's a color. Is it on this map or not? And you could say... yes or no. So that, you know what I mean?
Okay. I mean, when I read that, it was basically like, I don't... Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how they did that exactly. Because obviously you can tell the difference between, like...
a 256 color display and a...
in 256 colors, yeah. And one that's in true color, right? But you don't need to dither anything. You do not need to dither. There is nothing that you can make out of two of those colors that's not going to look like shit that you can't make out of a single other color.
What's kind of frustrating and potentially cool and stuff is, like, displays, like, you know, visual, like, either LCD or, you know, the old...
CRTs
or whatever, are potentially much more vibrant than any printed material you'll ever see, right? So, like, having digital photographs, assuming that you had high enough quality original, like, image capture, could be preferable to capturing images on film and printing them on paper. which was sort of something that I hadn't realized early on. But it's like I say that with a bunch of caveats because I feel like, you know, sort of low end consumer digital cameras don't capture the sort of range of visible light very well. But.
And that's not really even taking into account the problems of getting a full color image to print.
Yeah.
Because you've only got CMYK to deal with unless you're doing really super elaborate Pantone prints and things.
Sure. The graphics for Puzzle Kingdoms on the DS are just awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you say that, Riff, but on a monitor you only have R, G, and B usually. So I mean you're still limited to only three.
I guess that's true.
You know, original colors, and you're generating everything from those, but the monitor is just sort of able to provide a much richer density range, I think, than most printed material.
Yeah.
Although I've seen some really, really high-end, like, lithographic prints that, they weren't in color, though, but they had just a tremendous amount of detail. Super, super, high line screen stuff.
I mean, theoretically, printed material has infinite resolution, right?
No, not at all. I mean, it's all dots on... It's still dots on paper, right?
Right, like, but you could have a dot that was exactly one atom wide.
You can definitely have stuff that... You could definitely theoretically have stuff that was printed on paper that you couldn't... That had more detail than you could see with, like, the naked eye. But it's not... Infinite is not accurate. Like, there's, I forget what it's called. I haven't like taught photography in years and years and years, but there's something called, like, I think a circle of perception or something like that, which is like a size at a given distance that of which you can actually perceive detail. And like it's important in terms of determining what's an important resolution for you to be able to get out of film and lenses and stuff.
And what's
like
weird
that.
Is that it never gets any smaller than like a golf ball. So it's actually impossible to read printed text.
Right.
Unless it's like on a wall 100 feet away.
Well, and there's no way for a bee to fly from you to the text either, because that's physically impossible as well.
Right.
So.
Hey, remember actually, earlier when you turned your phone off?
Well, but I actually have to take this call. I'll be right back.
Oh, Jesus.
That, maybe you know the answer to this, Zach. When somebody calls you on your iPhone, is there a way to dump that call to voicemail instead of just having to sit there and let it ring until they hang up?
Yeah, for the 10 of you listening to whom this is relevant also, the button on top that you use to, like, wake the screen up,
yeah.
If you hit it once while it's ringing, it'll silence the ringer, and if you hit it a second time, it will dump them to voicemail, I think.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
That is accurate.
That is what?
That is accurate.
Sweet.
And you can take a screenshot by hitting that button and the circle in front at the same time.
How neat.
Screenshot. Yeah.
Screenshot.
I know. Man, I got all excited about that game that you were telling me about, The Hidden Park, because it's a game.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an ARG in Central Park and a bunch of other famous parks throughout the world where it takes you from place to place via the GPS and, like, you take a picture of something, and then when you look at the picture, it shows you some stuff in the picture that tells you where the next place to go is or whatever. I went to buy it. Not available in the U.S. iTunes store is what it says.
Yeah, I looked on their website, and there wasn't any indication of it being down. There wasn't any announcement or anything. I guess just...
I want to
try it again once a day or so, and hopefully it'll be back before you leave.
Yeah, maybe the problem is that you go and you, like, if you take a picture of Cleopatra's needle and then you look at the picture and there's all this just like gay porn.
So it just wasn't approved.
Somebody found out about that.
There's a ghost,
yeah.
And you die in 7 days.
Yeah. So I played a little bit of Puzzle Kingdoms, and now that I understand that makes a little more sense, I guess. But
Jenny played the hell out of Plants vs. Zombies. Yeah, she seemed to like that.
Me too. I beat the adventure mode finally yesterday, which unlocks a tremendous number of new mini games and gameplay modes and stuff. And I kind of want to just keep hammering on it until I get everything, because it's still fun.
You can keep playing adventure mode.
Yeah, but I don't really, I mean, you know. Adventure mode is good, but I feel like it's if I'm gonna do that, I might as well play the survival modes just because they're like more interesting and they go on longer. You know.
I see. There's an infinitely long version.
It's not. It is not. There might be one because there's also like these puzzle modes, right, where you have the one where you're sending zombies at the plants to try and get a zombie through each row, and in the end it was pretty tricky, right, because you had to like it was difficult. One thing that I didn't like about it was I think that you actually have to kind of save Scummit to get a situation that's actually possible to win.
Really?
Because the composition of the rows is the same, but the order in which it places them is different. Yeah, so anyway, going through all the puzzle levels on that unlocks an infinite mode version of that, and so I'm curious, on the survival modes, you just basically have to survive a run that's like five times as long as a normal level or whatever.
Nice.
But you know they tend to just get easier as time goes by. Like the bursts of zombies are difficult to deal with, but once you've had 10 minutes to
set up
resources and set up, then yeah, you end up significantly more formidable, and they don't really ramp up the numbers on the zombies. Anyway, I'm curious as to whether doing that will unlock some kind of single level infinite mode with just like a high score, because that would be cool.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun though.
It's a lot of content.
It is, and it's all is just well done. Some of the mini games are pretty funny. There's one just crazy one where all you can do is plant an entire row of the same or an entire column of the same plant all at once, and you just get just hundreds of zombies coming at you at once. It's just crazy.
Weird.
Crazy amount of stuff going on. It's a cool game though. Let's answer some questions, shall we? Unless you've been playing something recently that you want to talk about.
No, Lemonade Tycoon was the only game I played recently, and I played it for like a day and got to the point where I had purchased every upgrade and it was just like watching my money go up because it was just no additional content. I don't know, free iPhone game. Not really all that interesting.
I didn't know that it was free. I had seen something about it. I tried to play a couple things on JS Games today, but I couldn't get any of them to load. I don't know what the fuck. That was all about. Like, I had played some other Flash games, so it's not like some problem with Flash on my computer or whatever, but two of the games on the front page of JS Games that I tried to play just went to the page, and one of them had a loading bar that just never made it to the top, and one of them was just a big blank spot where the Flash game should have been.
Which two?
Oh, that one that's like a Zelda-y thing where you move around with the mouse and shoot witch titty or something. I forget what it's called. Witch something. Crazy witch. Fancy witch. Witch's britches. And another one that I don't remember anything about at all. Oh, some puzzle thing with circles with lines in between them and numbers on them.
Huh.
Yeah. I want the Casual Collective to hire 500 more people and just keep making every game that they think of, because they're pretty good. The space game was a huge time sink there for a while. I think that we can get through all of these questions today and reboot to the point where we're not constantly...
No. Let's go back in time before there were questions and reformulate what it means to have a question, and then it won't matter.
Oh. All right, but I don't want you driving my car off any cliffs.
That was my first plan.
Hello, you're on Car Talk. let's see. Fred Levi wrote, "Ooh, nifty new song icons there, Jick." Yeah, I'm happy that there were only a couple of people complaining about that change, and it was the people that you would have expected. So, I did, you know, I kind of... What I tried to do was make it so every Accordion Thief song had a musical note pretty obvious in the icon, and only Accordion Thief songs had musical notes in the icon.
Oh, okay. Because that was the only thing that I I was a little worried about, because I was reading the forum thread of people talking about it before I actually saw what the icons were, and somebody pointed out that it made it harder to easily look and see how much you had left on your particular songs. But if they all have musical notes in them, then that's not a big deal.
I could see giving people the option to have the Accordion Thief buffs all at the top all the time, regardless of their buff sorting. Because I think a handful of people were like, it was easier before to know how many Accordion Thief songs I had in head.
Right.
And I know that's a little tougher now. It was not just the Accordion Thief buffs that got that. I have an idea for an overhaul of the skill interface, which is going to end up being optional because I is too experimental. But
everyone would have to use your tongue.
Yeah. So everybody, in order to play KOL from now on, you're going to need to get one of those lick screens.
Yeah, that I don't know if I can get behind that.
Yeah, or you could just get a lick overlay. I think Jolly Rancher makes it. Existing screen, it's US.
Just get a bunch of those old school Jolly Rancher sticks and stick them all together.
Yeah, and then stick a USB cable to them and plug it in. That would totally work. We should do that. Oh man, we're totally inventors.
That's true.
Anyway, every skill in the game now has a unique icon. Even all the passives and
is that rolled out live?
Well, it does not mean anything whether it's rolled out live or not, right?
Well, but there were people who were saying that there are skills that did not have icons.
There were combat skills that didn't have icons, but there are no longer any of those, and there are no longer any two skills that use the same icon, except for a bunch of unimplemented skills, all of which use nutsack.gif.
All right.
Are there any two that are not on fire?
No.
Excellent.
Introduced as over the course of this, the concept of the like white on black icon graphic, which I'm still not entirely sure how I feel.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
it does seem like, I mean, for a long time we resisted stuff going all the way up to the edges of the icon area.
Yeah, but I did these as though it was a black square drawn, so it's a little different. Also, I think, and I turned out to be wrong about this when I initially made the determination that it was okay to do that. I thought that skills, when you saw an icon for a skill, that it always had a border around it, but it totally doesn't. So, anyway. We'll see. And then I thought about, after I did this, I was like, I totally could have gone through and just made it so all of the passive skills had black backgrounds, because then that would have been a really easy visual way to distinguish the passives from the other skills, iconically. But I think I can do like some kind of colored border sort of thing. Anyway.
Is that some sort of immigration policy?
Yes. Yes.
I see.
That was hard, though. That took a long fucking time and required me to do a lot of art that nobody has seen, because they're just sitting there in a database table.
You could just show everybody the table.
That's true. And I could show you the door.
Did you make it with your own hands?
Yeah. I do make a better door than a window. Because all of my windows are also made out of those Jolly Ranchers. Get really sticky in the summer.
It'd be interesting trying to make a window. Like, I don't exactly know how you make perfectly flat glass sheets that are also...
I read about this, I think. They float it on top of molten metal.
Really?
They have something that melts at a lower temperature than glass, and they actually put a sheet of it out, right? They put a bunch of it out in a container so that gravity keeps it totally flat, and then they put glass on top of it and let the glass cool without cooling the stuff underneath the glass.
I see. Huh.
I don't remember where
That's pretty cool.
I don't remember where I found that out. Was it you, Hot Stuff, that was telling me you found out how they make Pop Rocks?
No.
I forget who it was, but it was they manufacture the candy under pressure so that the they like inject it with carbon dioxide, and they do the entire like hardening process under pressure so that there's pressurized carbon dioxide bubbles inside the
candy.
Inside that's the sheets of candy, and then they break them into little pieces. Yeah, that was cool.
Huh.
Yeah, anyway. Sweet. So, 10 minutes, one question. We are on track. It wasn't even a question, it was a comment. let's see. Oh, man. I discovered a good beer.
Yeah, I'm curious whether we can find that out here.
Yeah, me too. Earthel Hop It. H-O-P-I-T for those interested listeners. It's like a cross between beer my wife likes and beer that I like.
I wonder if you'll both like it. I wonder if she'll like it, too.
I don't know. I'm really curious. Let's see. Pobblebonk says, I've been using my Divine Blowouts against the Merkin in the Outpost. My Moxie is buffed to 950, but they're only doing 513 damage each time. Bug or feature? Do those guys have...
Some of them do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some of them have, I don't know, a mechanism that we would probably refer to as armor, if that wasn't confusing. But yeah, there are with the introduction of Hobopolis, we introduced the concept of a sort of like giving monsters the equivalent of the damage reduction that the player has to some extent, and some of the Merkin have that property.
You'll notice that it's the one that that have the picture that where they look armored.
Yep. And it should be, you know, given knowledge of the mechanic, it should be pretty easy to figure out how it works, given that you have stuff that does like pretty specific amounts of damage like that, right? Like the divine items or the cursed cannonballs or whatever. Like, I think I might have accidentally fucked up and made the divine items not even vary within a range.
I don't know if they do.
I don't know. Okay. Lork says, the new accordion thief buff icons are fantastic, attractive, and clever designs. I always used to get confused between Fat Loot and Polka of Plenty. No more. The only ones that people expressed any confusion about were the two last ones that I did that I just kept like, what the fuck am I going to do for this? What the fuck is this going to look like? Make any sense. Which were the key, the Fat Loot lyric. Key crossed with it. Yeah. It's because whatever, man.
Why not like a treasure chest?
Because I couldn't really get a treasure chest to look. I guess I could have done a big treasure chest with a note on it.
Or, yeah.
Or like a, you know, like a bag, like a money bag looking bag.
Only oh, yeah.
Had a
yeah. With a note on it. That'd be good.
Yeah.
Well, then that icon will become the icon for the ululation of unlocking.
You could just get through all the doors in the tower with that skill.
Yeah. Pretty...
That wouldn't change the Ascension game at all.
Kevin B says, the new frisbee should be the ultimate frisbee, as in the ultimate frisbee. With some quotes in there the second time. Paul BD says...
Slightly different timing.
Yeah, Paul BD says, hey, what is your impression of Google Chrome? Here, I'll do my impression of Google Chrome. Hey, Hot Stuff, ask me to do something.
Click, do something.
No!
Or you'll do it, but it looks really weird and is like, doesn't respond the same way as any other browser. God, I have never been unimpressed by a Google product that I've seen, and I am just severely unimpressed by Google Chrome.
I don't understand. I don't understand how they've released something that's so... You know, my wife loves it until some fucked up bullshit happens. She doesn't attribute it to... whenever stuff in KOL doesn't work right, she's like, oh, you guys suck. No, Chrome sucks. It's not us.
Yeah. We get a tremendous number of bug reports. And when they're filing them from Google Chrome, I'm like, you know, I just can't. I can't tell you that this is a game because you're using a stupid. It's like if you were playing a game with Lynx, which is a text browser for the young kids in the audience who've never heard of it, and we're like, I can't see the items. I don't have any sympathy for you.
Yeah, like if you're trying to play KOL on a Kindle.
Yeah. Yeah. For example.
Let's see. Member FDIC says, we have a turns played this run readout on our public character page. Can we get something for day count, too? It'd help a lot with contests. That is not a bad idea. It, as it stands now, it would require a little bit of weirdness. Like, we'd have to add a field to the player table that stored, like, the rollover of the last time you ascended, probably. Because right now, I believe that there is just a field in the player table that stores the turn on which you last ascended, and we don't have that for days, because I don't think the player profile page actually hits the ascension table at this point.
How do we calculate the days?
I don't know.
Because I mean, there's got to be some way to calculate it.
Well, clearly. when you ascend, it does.
Is it just an expensive calculation at this point?
No, it's just a calculation that you can't do based on just what's in the player table.
I see.
You know, show player probably hits other... like, I guess it has to hit the consumption table. Unless... No, we're caching favorite food and booze now.
Yeah.
In the player object for the forum sigs. I haven't been looking at the referrers. Is that still...
I have not checked it out either, to be honest. We could check it out together right now.
Blastodon says, speaking of Shaq's Twitter feed, did you see this? I guess Oprah Twittered something in all caps, and then Shaq replied, your caps is stuck, by the way. Your caps is on, by the way. Which was... Moglia says, you should have an optional adventure before last link to save a few clicks when alternating between two areas. Yeah, I don't know.
And then another one, adventure before, at the place before the last place.
Right.
And like just a train.
If
I saw a screenshot of somebody with some kind of like...
If that link always just took you to the airship, then that would...
Penultimate adventure.
That's pretty funny. There was some screenshot of somebody who had, like, I think a Grease Monkey script or whatever that was the last five places they'd been to. And I was like, that's pretty useful. Because there's, you know, you'll, depending on what effects or whatever you've got going on, you might have different things in your little list of recent stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, allowing... And the skill interface overhaul that I'm thinking about is kind of moving toward this... Allowing a kind of a shortcut bar interface out in the world. We're thinking, I was thinking a while back about putting it above the chat in that frame.
Because we were going to put, you're going to be able to assign chat macros to buttons.
Yeah. And also assign, like, using skills to buttons and that kind of thing. Like, I feel like there is a, you know, the problem is we're not actually going to be able to get rid of any of this, but there's a lot of just kind of weird, inconsistent, janky interface things that got added over time, and it'd be really nice. It would be nice to at least be able to have a new player come in and have like a nice, consistent interface.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Come on, it's gonna be great. Yeah. Drag and drop everywhere.
You have to pick up a dragon, and then you have to drop it over there.
Yep.
It's like Dumbo Drop the Movie, only set in a fantasy world.
Set in a Sokoban?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's part of the thing. The new skills interface is going to... You're going to have to solve a Sudoku before you cast a buff. So you guys You social players, brush up on your Sudoku skills.
I'll say that's not going to prevent any buff bots from doing anything, because those are... Those are totally trivially solved by computers.
Are they?
Yeah, Sudoku.
What?
There's like solvers on the internet. You just put it in there? If you made them solve
crossword, we can combine them with CAPTCHAs, so all the hint numbers are written in all these crazy distorted fonts.
I hate CAPTCHAs. I feel like a lot of CAPTCHAs these days are the same kind of things like the ESP game, where it's like, here's a word that the OCR couldn't read on some text that's been scanned somewhere. You read it for us. So I've started
I've heard that's a real project, I've specifically started
typoing things that I think are that, and I get through them all the time.
Just trying to stick it to the man.
Well, it's just they're making me do work for free. Pay me.
I keep getting the regular like crazy jumbled distorted ones and having to refresh them like 4 or 5 times until I get one I can read. Yeah.
You can have them read them aloud to you too.
Huh.
A lot of them have like an audio button, but then it's so the voice is so bad sometimes that you still can't tell.
Well, yeah, because I guess they have to stop you just running it through.
Exactly.
Speech to text.
I spent like 2 hours on the phone with my mother the night before Mother's Day, trying to help her set up a Gmail account. That was brutal. I was even like, I could like, you know, on my phone, I could see what she was doing on her computer because I've got a VNC set up on her computer. So it was VNC'd in, and I could, you know, I could see the form that she was trying to type in and fill out and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, don't hit return. And then she'd hit return like halfway through the form, and it would submit like a half filled form, and then there'd be all these errors like you didn't fill out these fields. And she's like, what's going wrong? And I'm like, oh my God. Over and over and over again. But we finally did it. And then I had to teach her how to use Gmail.
That's cool. That's a good story.
Yeah, that's great.
I didn't really think about that whole tendency to hit enter after you're done typing something. And how over and over again. It seems like an intuitive thing to think, right? And then how do you know that? Well, I mean, I guess the way that you know is once it happens to you once, you stop doing it.
Yeah.
What's wrong with old people?
They're like set in their ways. She kept, you know, on the keyboard, she kept trying to like hit the carriage turn.
Just pushing the keyboard off her desk.
Over and over again. It's like, Mom!
Complaining that the bell was broken.
Yeah. Right into the line, and it's not doing anything. Yeah. But that's it. I mean, the fact that it's a return on the keyboard is kind of interesting, right? Because it's a carriage turn. It's a physical bar that on a typewriter you are bringing the thing back to the left-hand side of the screen, you know?
Mine doesn't say return. Mine says enter.
Well, there's both on most keyboards.
Well, I don't.
Oh, you zipped out. You're gone. Oh, wait, that's right.
You can't hear me.
I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you for...
I see. Well, I think the last recording bore out my theory that the recording can hear me even when you can't.
Oh, no, I'm sure it can hear you. I don't think... I'm guessing that it couldn't hear us.
Yeah, well, it couldn't hear you hold that sign up.
That's true.
In the same way that I couldn't read it because the resolution on the webcam or the refresh or something is not fast enough to actually resolve that detail.
Which is fine because I think we've just got the cue when I hold up that post-it note in front of the camera that there's something wrong.
Someday you're going to write something mean on there, though.
But you won't tell. You won't tell. You won't be able to tell. And so is it really mean is it mean to make fun of the retarded kid if you can't tell that you're making fun of him?
Huh.
Yeah, the answer is yes. The answer is yeah, it's really great.
No, that's a good point. I'm going to start making fun of retarded kids now. I wasn't doing it before, but your logic is unimpeachable. Skawunja says, for fixing misclasses, how about making some sort of side quest that will increase the power of your spells in some way, such as decreasing MP costs or increasing caps? I have often thought about gear or you know, a passive skill or whatever that would lower the MP cost of skills, of spells, but it's like, the way the code is set up, it would not be easy to do that, so I always end up doing something else.
It also needs to reduce spell costs, not just... in a straight line, like, you know.
Yeah, like the existing stuff.
Expensive spells more than the ones at the low end.
Yeah.
25%. Well, I guess you could do a percentage, maybe, and that might be okay.
Yeah. Or we could just double all the damage and have all the mana costs of all spells across the board.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
It's frustrating because there's like, I feel like if we had it to do over entirely from scratch, we could rebalance a lot of this stuff better.
I mean, as long as we're only making any given thing better, we can. We have that freedom, right?
Sure.
Like, sure. I don't know. I wonder, like, I wonder if we took a spell, if we took an existing spell that did some damage, right? And we then reduced the mana cost of that spell and made it do twice as much damage spread out over three rounds. That is better in a lot of ways, right? But I would imagine that people would still piss and moan because when they hit the button, the number of damages that they're
doing
is lower. Or do you think that the kind of person who's going to complain about that is the kind of person who's likely to actually take the math into account?
I guess it depends on whether or not they're used to one-shotting dudes.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are they trying to kill them quickly? Because, you know, doing damage over multiple rounds is great unless that you get killed in the interim, you know?
Right.
And misclasses don't have high HP and get hit a lot more often because they don't.
Well, I mean, except for Posturancers who've got their dudes entangled.
Sure. That is true.
You know, and I probably, if I was gonna make one of the spells a dot, it wouldn't be the big uncapped one that they'd be using if they were trying to one-hit something anyway.
And, you know, we could do the half-cost double damage type thing. I'm not saying those specific ratios.
I am.
If it's a native class skill, right? So, I mean, what I would like is I feel like we're, you know, with, especially with the most recent Turtle Tamer update and the Seal Clipper update, like we've differentiated classes pretty significantly. You know, they could just have better, the spells could just be better for them when they're actually casting them in their class, you know?
Yeah, it's just weird to do that with mana cost, because that would then be the only thing in the game that worked like that. It would make a lot more sense, you know, and I, honestly, that is something that if I had it to do over again, I would make off-class skills cost two or three times as much mana.
Right. Well, I mean, early on, we didn't even have the ascension mechanic, right? Like, that wasn't...
Well, early on, we didn't even have mana.
I'm showing Riff an example of a...
Wow, okay.
Of a CAPTCHA where...
It's somebody's telephone number.
Somebody's telephone number. Literally somebody's... Like, it is just a bunch of OCR text that the computer didn't, or whatever, couldn't understand.
What is this application you're using? Is this just all the stuff on your phone?
No. There's one particular iPhone game that is just a web app.
Oh.
So, like, the program on the iPhone is just a browser. So, you can play it in a regular browser.
I'm so fucking angry at that web app.
Why?
Because it forces it down to the goddamn aspect ratio of an iPhone when you're looking at it in a browser for no reason.
Oh, yeah, shit that resizes your browser window.
It doesn't resize the browser window. It's
in a frame that is the same size as your... It's kind of retarded.
Let's see. Grog says, detuned radio, too. Maybe you should turn off the bi-multiple availability for the detuned radio and the spare kidney, too, while you're at it. I'm surprised that I didn't already. Popplebunk says, I'm sure you've been asked this before, but if you have, I missed it. Why can't we adventure in the hedge maze after we've finished it? It'd be nice for experience, even without drops. I mean, yeah, it's not a zone. It never really was, right? It's more of a puzzle. And so...
There are a ton of places that have higher monster level in the game, especially with the underwater content and stuff. So...
But it might be the place where it is the easiest to just fight high level monsters.
I guess.
Southwest says, since buffs and combat skills have images associated with them, how about adding images for passive skills and making skill images show up in the skill descriptions? Oh, and non-combat skills as well. Yeah. They show up in the skill description.
The could the hedge maze collapse to a real zone after you finished it?
I mean, it's one monster, though.
Well, yeah.
We could probably just make it a zone, given the way that... given the amount of stuff that we can do with zones now, you know?
But then you'd Billy Pilgrim would just teleport to it and win the game.
Right.
The number of, like, sort of weird inconsistency things, like teleporting to zones, quest zones on the battlefield that he hasn't unlocked yet, that's kind of weird.
Why?
I mean, because he hadn't started the nun's quest and was already fighting bandits.
Huh.
I mean, that's kind of weird, right?
I guess, although I don't think that there isn't a nun's quest, is the thing. There's no... because of the way that works, there's no trigger for
it. It's just a thing. It's just when you complete it, it's done, basically.
Yeah.
It's just narratively very strange. Right, because you don't know why you're fighting them and the nuns are coming to take the meat and stuff, right?
I guess... I don't really think that would ever happen to somebody who hadn't already played the game once, right? I mean, you could go in and click on it, but then it would stop you from adventuring there if you weren't in uniform, which you probably wouldn't be. Yeah, I don't know. There were certainly things that we could not do in a very narratively sane and satisfying way in the level 12 quest because of the way in which it had to be tracked.
Right.
So, because, you know, we didn't want you to be able to lock yourself out of one version of the quest by starting it when you were dressed as the other side or whatever. What are you guys laughing at now?
The next question.
Rothqual's question.
That is pretty funny. He says, "Hi, first-time writer. I've just noticed that every shopkeeper in the market square has a name or a title, except for the one at the gift shop. Would you fix that?" And then later on, there's a question from Gorblax. Beowulf says, "Is there a reason the haunted bedroom has two small clickable areas, while the haunted ballroom only has one long clickable area?" Yeah, I don't remember. It was just the way that I split the image up. I guess is it possible to? I guess it's possible to lay out a table like that, right?
Oh, Gorblax and his secret multis.
Oh, really? It is a multi of Gorblax.
Just a multi.
You dick.
It was kind of funny, but I had to check.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. I just. Preenequeezer says, a wok recipe where you combine all the letters with MSG to create alphabet soup. another putt says, add the ability to pulverize familiar equipment to make familiar wads? It would add purpose to going to the training area, possibly. Yeah. Captain Kirk suggests a jar of mosquitoes in the Council of Loathing that you can click on to see how many mosquito larvae they've collected.
And if you can guess how many there are you get all of them.
Oh, man. If you can guess how many there are, you get malaria. Psychosis730 says, hey, guys, agree or disagree? The 8 deadliest words in the English language are, I can't taste the alcohol in this anymore.
I think probably it would be more like, I can't taste the sulfuric acid in this anymore.
Because my tongue has been burned off.
Hydrofluoric acid is the scary stuff, right? Because that'll burn through. Like, if you accidentally get that on the floor, it'll just eat through the floor. Like, I think it doesn't react to glass, so you can keep it in, like, glass tubes.
Isn't hydrochloric?
Hydrofluoric.
Hydrofluoric, okay. Because hydrochloric is stomach acid.
Right.
So
hydrofluoric acid is designed to burn through floors. That's why it's called that.
And flowers. And florists.
But you can't taste the alcohol in, like, a really well-made Long Island iced tea, for example. And you could have not even... You could have just had a sip. You know, I can't taste the alcohol in this anymore, and that's not deadly.
But you wouldn't say anymore. I think that's the transition from being able to taste it to not being able to taste it.
No, so you're in the process of mixing it. You're like, no, it still tastes like alcohol, still tastes like alcohol. Oh, I can't taste the alcohol in this anymore.
Okay, so good. Good work. You found it. You found a way to make that guy look dumb.
Death. No, I found a way to cheat death, I think.
Shiny Wookie says, would it be possible to incorporate other forms of currency into the character panes, such as dimes for the frat war, hobo nickels, etc., to be shown at a glance? That's not a bad idea.
If you could, we're kind of running out of real estate there.
Well, you could optionally, you know, you could just have an account menu option to pop it in there. We could add another, a third row of icons to full mode without it being too big of a deal.
We should have an account menu option to show all the really obscure account menu options.
Yeah. So Very Invisible says, changing the icon for the Sonata of Sneakiness also changed the item image for Mafia Aria. Yeah. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, because it was sonata.gif. So there was some fucked up permissions problem on the image server that was making it so I couldn't overwrite old images, right? And so I asked Geff to fix that, and he did, but that made it so it no longer prompts me for confirmation on overwriting images.
Oh, jeez.
Which is frustrating because it happens a lot, right? Because there are like fucking 4,000 items in the game. And so when I draw something, a lot of the time, not a lot of the time, but I would say if I'm adding 50 new item images, it is virtually guaranteed that one of them I will give the same name as some previous one. Right, unless I'm naming them something weird. Yeah, so that's what happened there.
That sucks. So is that old one just gone? Did you pull it off?
Oh, I don't know. It wasn't an important one anyway. It was probably I had drawn the exact same thing twice.
I'm sure they have it on the wiki if you need it back.
And I mean I have backups of all that stuff anyway. It's not a big deal. Rickett also pointed that out. Reverend Noodleson suggests adding a take-all button for free pull items in Hanks.
Huh.
Just like a take-all free pull. I can see that.
We could have a pull taffy button.
Hmm? I don't even know her.
Have you guys ever pulled taffy?
No.
It's kind of fun.
Taffy is good though.
We should make some taffy at some point. It's kind of a fun process.
Hmm.
It's like you can have a party where you like everybody just pulls taffy for a while, and then so you have a bunch of like the sort of basic unflavored taffy, and then you add in whatever kind of flavorings you want, and then you pull it a little bit more to get it to sort of like suffuse it with that flavor, and then you're kind of done. Let it harden, and then you've got your saltwater taffy.
Groovy.
So.
Huh. That sounds super gay.
If you don't
should,
like,
oh, you know what we should do? Thanks. We should have a party where we all scrapbook some shit. Ooh, yeah. We could make quilts. We make quilts.
So, like, if you had a party where you, like, brewed some beer,
yeah,
would that be gay?
No.
Why?
Because brewing beer is not gay or for women.
Making candy is gay?
Yes, or for women.
Okay.
A chili cook. A chili
what if it were beer flavored taffy?
Yeah. A chili cook off, not gay. A quiche cook off, gayer than shit. It's really not that hard. Well, it's not that hard for me. I can see why it would give you some problems on account of you're kind of gay.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in the homosexual sense. I'm using it to just mean lame. Lest you get offended. The Amazing Rando says, I'm fighting Ed the Undying for like the millionth time, and it's still my favorite writing in all of KOL. Thanks for making 7 turns of every ascension better than all the others. Hey, Riff!
It is pretty funny.
Every time I come back to the browser, I come back to the wrong friggin' tab. Squee says, on the last show, you guys were talking about video games as art. Do you feel that KOL is art, or that there is at least art in it? I honestly don't know.
It's definitely got some artistry to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a tremendous amount of really good writing in KOL, you know.
There's a lot of really good drawings.
I mean, if cartooning is an art.
Yeah, I feel like the body of work, any individual drawing is not necessarily all that impressive, but as like a style, as a genre, it's kind of interesting and worthwhile.
I would be hesitant to refer to KOL as a work of art, but, like, I would not be hesitant to refer to, like, you know, Metroplexity as a work of art, right?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I think
it's... Because you're the one...
Because I don't want to... Yeah, the same reason I don't wear KOL t-shirts. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to walk around telling people I'm an artist.
And I made this t-shirt.
I don't mind... I don't mind telling people that I want to write make bets and make other arties' dreams come true, though.
Right.
Riff, have I been making your dreams come true?
it's going pretty good, yeah.
You're enabling his dreams.
Some of them.
Yeah, you're definitely enabling my dreams, I would say.
All right.
My dream of having the most ridiculous job in the world and living a life of mostly leisure,
Your dream of going to bed every night on top of a 4,000-foot tall pile of discarded Amazon packaging.
Man, that, I hadn't even thought of it. I bet if you had a lot of those little balloons, that would be kind of comfortable.
Remember,
it would be sweaty.
Yeah,
you have to
yeah.
cover it with something.
Get put a sheet
soft.
Over it.
Yeah, but you could probably order that on Amazon.
Did you ever see Mount Box?
Oh, I do remember Mount Box. I got here just before it was dismantled, I believe.
Mount Box.
God, you know, the best thing about Mount Box is that was the only thing in the living room. Let's see. Thunder Girl says, do you keep track of how many equations were used to solve the Dwarvish 7 puzzle?
I'm not sure what is meant by that. I was pretty amused that one guy worked out the exact mathematics behind the dice game without actually understanding what was going on. He, like, completely reinvented base 7 math.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see.
He completely reinvented Total Spoiler.
Oh, whoops. it's been around long enough that anyone that listens to the show, I'm sure, is already.
Let's do a little pause here. We've got an hour and 20 minutes to record what probably needs to be like another 45-minute segment. So we'll be fine there. Let's come back in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black.
We're back. You're sitting in such a way that I can't see Riff.
Sorry.
Am I supposed to watch somebody play iPhone games?
I wouldn't do that.
What
is Riff drinking?
Orange juice.
Oh, it looks all pastel. Weird.
That's probably just a feature of the webcam.
Philip Strub says, God, the Star Trek was so awesome.
It was good, but I gave it 4 out of 5 stars on Netflix when I rated it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't my favorite thing ever, but it was definitely good enough that it made me eagerly anticipate further installments.
Yeah.
Writes, why are the level requirements for each tier of bean burritos higher for the enchanted versions? To clarify, bean, jumping bean, and enchanted burritos are level 1, 1, and 2, respectively. Same thing goes for spicy and insanely spicy. Hot stuff?
The insanely spicy one has a particularly nice benefit that required it to be higher level.
Oh. Does that effect doesn't happen for all 3 of the insanely spicy ones?
No, just the enchanted.
Ooh, I need to rewrite some stuff then.
As far as I know. I could be wrong. Let me check.
Mark Wilde says, why can't I hit the monkey in the spooky forest with a bone, maps and legends, when I have a bone in my inventory? Stupid monkey. What's that? There's some show that ends with... It's not that some bad Harry. It's just a stupid monkey, and then ooh, hee, hee.
Oh, I don't know. There's Bad Hat Harry. There's the bad robot.
Doppelheathen says you should make the cobs of corn do something different. You're eating them all dual wielded corn holders. That's pretty funny, actually. Rotting Flesh says, inch mile, please have lunging press back auto hit with all clubs, not just two handers. Not just this is Bi-Ender. I don't know. I'm waiting to be convinced of that.
Yeah, has there been much discussion on the forums about it?
There's a bunch of discussion on the forums about it that I don't understand. So I don't know. Shit, you know, I wasn't really paying attention to when we started this. So I'm not going to know when it's long enough. I'm guessing we should stop at, like, 10 till 8.
Okay.
And it will be last. Yeah.
By what you mean, 10 till 10?
4 hours for you guys.
Yeah.
Fox says, how about a blank trophy for blank, 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 blank? Malicious Activity says, Clan Forum revamp? I don't know, man. Clan Forum just made everybody angry at us that their old message board wasn't there anymore.
I mean, they are really just... It's just basic functionality for people that don't have outside of game forums. If you really want good clan forums, the right thing to do is to just go outside of KOL and make them. You know.
It's not just law, it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
Ted the Red says, how soon can we expect a Turtle Tamer update? Yesterday.
Those are the best kind of questions to get.
Yeah. Knots Landing says, since you replaced Riverside with depleted Riverside in the Raffle House, do you think you'll keep going with the Riverside trend, or will you switch it up? We don't know. We make everything up just in time.
Stuff that's in the Raffle House now, it's going to be there for a while, at the very least.
Master of Sauces says, when did Stickman stop being laziness and start being a style of art? It was never really laziness. I'm terrible at drawing, like, humanoids. I'm okay at drawing animals if I have, like, examples of drawings of animals. Yeah, I don't know.
But you still got them pretty stylized.
Yeah. I like the style, you know. I had done this card game in, basically KOL style, and the adventure starter's just like, dude, you should do something with this, and I'm like, that'll never work.
I like his style for stuff too, though. Grug he says, does good arts.
That's true. Grug says, pick out a button to eat the food in the state. It's button mark eat that is right next to whoever the food
don't you, you'd have to throw it up first.
Or wait a long time. No, I mean for like the expansion of the universe to reverse time and start going backwards.
That would be a long time.
Postmancer says, having just spent 60 adventures at Deep Fat Fryer Quest and gotten one of the items I need, I have to ask, is it possible to tweak their frequency a little bit? Not a lot. I understand the point of a quest is to put work into it. It still seems a little extreme. And I know I confirm combat frequency modifiers, but that's giving the finger to new players who haven't gotten around to that yet, and I think that wouldn't be what you would want to do. I don't know that making things easier the more effort you've invested into the game counts as giving the finger to anybody. I think it's just a game.
I think he's just saying that, like, for us to expect...
Right.
So we have a particular skill, cross-class skill, to have that.
Which we don't. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's one of those things where, you know, probably ought to put in a super likely that fires if you've spent a whole bunch of time in the zone and not gotten the encounter, right? So it can't take that long. But I don't know that I feel like 60 turns is, like, super outlier too long for the Friar quest.
Right. Yeah, that's for one third of it, is what he's saying, though.
Okay. Okay. Fine.
I'm not saying that I would change anything. You know.
If we were to change it, though, where do you think we would put it?
That's the problem. Right?
In his own 2010, 2020.
I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. Because everybody's threshold for, like, feeling like something's taking too long is going to be different, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if black people and white people are going to approach that threshold differently. We should ask Chris Rock. Fenella says, I know people might say this shouldn't surprise me as I work at a private Catholic high school in Texas, and I heard people talking in all honesty about Obama's terrorist fist jab. This is from the kids who pound it dozens of times a day. Wow. I really repressed in Catholic high school.
Jeez.
Is it just me, says, or has the public Republican Party just been getting more batshit crazy? Everybody's been getting more crazy and fatter. That's just what happens as time goes by in America.
Eventually we'll just collapse as an empire.
Under the weight of our own insanity and the weight of our...
Weight? Yeah. Wait.
Under the weight of our own insanity and the insanity of our own weight.
Ah.
Very nice.
Let's see. Gurgu Man says, Dear Mr. J and Mr. S, a few months ago you came up with the idea of a small clan dungeon, like 1,000 enemies and then a boss. It's been a while now and there's been no word about it found of the fans of the dev team. It's still in the works because I always. Yeah, it is. I've been doing some stuff.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Grug says, the tiny plastic figures get their own section in the inventory. It's annoying to have to maneuver around them when you want a real accessory.
Yeah.
There are enough of them that they rival the bones. We gave the bones their own section.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. The bones aren't equipment, though.
Sure.
Damn it, Jim. An accessory, not a toy.
You could just call the category tiny plastic accessories or something like that to identify them as
accessories.
Yeah.
I just mean them not accessories.
Some of them are really important accessories.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Tell that to the tiny plastic naughty sorceress that sells for millions and millions of meat.
Billions and billions of meat?
Billions and billions.
Possumancer says, apologize if this exists already, but can we have an option, much like a quest nudge, where we can have a short message every time we log in? Even just a one-line note to me would help immensely. I've already said you can leave it on your quest log, but if you can remember to check that, you probably don't need a reminder at all. But if you put it on your quest log, it begins with the word reminder and then a colon, it will show up during the quest nudge. Is it documented?
I don't know. Nobody seems to know about it.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the first time somebody's written into the radio show asking for this exact feature that already existed. So. Nick Ajou says, hey, Jack, how's the museum today? I didn't end up making it to the museum on the day that I thought that I was going to. Every time I decide that I'm going to go to the museum, I end up sleeping until, like, noon, and the museum I want to go to is only open from, like, 10 to 5. So I always feel like I need to get up earlier if I'm going to go to the museum.
You'll probably get up early on, like, a Monday, and it'll be closed.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to try and get there at some point.
Which museum are you going to go to?
Natural History Museum. Everybody told me it's cool.
The Whitney has had a bunch of cool stuff, but it varies tremendously based on what they're exhibiting. MoMA is pretty cool.
I've been to MoMA.
But again, it's... The Whitney's collection changes entirely pretty much every time they do it.
Every 30 seconds.
Yes.
So if you don't like it, what you're saying is welcome to the Whitney. If you don't like the exhibits, just wait a while.
Yeah.
Show the Bandit says, why is there no holiday double drinking / spleen like the Feast of Brooks for Fullness? Well, spleen doesn't make any sense. And drunkenness, you get a different approach to it on St. Sneaky Pete's Day.
Yeah.
Intellect.
Pretend that, I was going to say, pretend that Labor Day gave you a double spleen and you used it for 10 turns worth of spleen stuff early on before you woke up.
That's a good thing to attend.
Yeah.
Intellect just mixing smoky potion with tonic water for a gin and tonic. Sledge Eater says, hey, so I heard you guys were going to make more shirts. I completely support this idea, even though I just made that up. I don't know, there's a good amount of shirts now.
Drake doesn't like actually selling stuff in the store.
Oh, wait, I thought they were talking about shirts in...
Oh, I don't know, I was assuming real life. Maybe he meant in the game. I guess.
I don't think anybody cares about real life.
You think?
Mm.
You know, that the interesting thing about that is I don't know. That question is completely ambiguous.
Yep.
Huh. I once actually made a shirt. I bought some fabric and sewed a shirt together. Yeah. It was not great.
Welcome to my mom divided by a thousand.
Yeah. You know. I have a lot of respect for people that make clothes for themselves that actually fit well and look nice.
My mom used to make cabbage pan clothes and sell them.
out of cabbage?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, they didn't last very long. They would take them home and they would rot, and then we'd go back to the craft store saying, the shirt that you sent me was a real lemon. And then they would say, no, it was cabbage, but if you had put lemon juice on it, it would have lasted longer. This is a pretty funny joke, huh?
Yeah, it was hilarious. Do people talk about... I can't imagine someone talking about clothing as a lemon.
I know.
Right? But I mean...
I took this shirt home and it just didn't work at all.
That's what I'm saying. How complicated does something have to be before you can call it a lemon? There are computers. I feel like you bought a particular Mac laptop and it was kind of a lemon, right?
Yeah.
Cars, definitely cars, right? At what point this stick is totally a lemon? It doesn't divine where the water is or whatever.
How many moving parts does it have to have before?
There's got to be some division there, and I don't know where it is.
Fernando Bono says, "Hola, caballeros. I'd like to make a horrible request. I'd like to make a humble request. Could you make one of the accordion thief songs say cumbia? Cumbias are very important dances down here. We can pronounce it cumbia, and the hippies could sing it all day."
I was just thinking that, actually.
Have you ever heard anybody, I've never heard anybody sing cumbia. I've only... it's like you make fun of hippies by saying they sing Kumbaya all the time.
I have a vague memory of being forced to sing it at a summer camp when I was very little.
Do you go to a lot of hippie summer camps?
I think I went to one summer camp once, if you don't count the English department camp that the university ran. But yeah, I only have the vaguest memories of it.
Did they make you smoke patchouli incense of a sweet gravity bong?
No, they didn't.
Gravity bong, as described by the person who told me what a gravity bong was, seemed kind of cool.
What is a gravity bong?
Well, the way that they described it, it's probably a terminology that is used for multiple things. You take a 2-liter soda bottle and cut the bottom off of it, and then you cut a hole in the top and put probably the stem from a bong in it, and you put your weed in it. I mean you put your tobacco in the pipe on top. You hold the lever over it and you lift the put the whole thing in water of this.
Right? What? The whole thing?
Yeah, the bathtub with water, right?
Okay.
Really deep. And you lower the thing down into the water, and then you put fire through the stuff, and then you pull it out of the water quickly so that it sucks a whole lot of air in really quickly and fills the thing with smoke. And then you remove the thing from it and put your face on it and push it back down into the water so that it just fills your blasts all the smoke into you.
Huh.
It seems like the kind of thing that somebody could describe and be like, dude, that would be so awesome, but it probably just wouldn't, it wouldn't even work.
So a friend of mine once told a story about working in a carpet warehouse, and after shift one night, some dudes made a gravity bong out of a 55-gallon drum and one of the gigantic cardboard tubes that the carpet comes rolled around. And apparently they needed a ladder to get up to the top of it, and it just knocked the dude off the ladder and flat onto his back, and he was just paralytic when it happened, just because of the vast quantities of pot that was forced into his system.
I mean, if you had a tight seal around the bowl, there's no reason that it wouldn't. I mean, it would have to fill that whole volume with air very quickly as you pull it out.
Yeah,
the physics seem pretty reasonable to me.
Yeah,
you could just use a bucket. You don't even need a bathtub.
Well, sure, but I mean that's the only thing you have handy that's deep enough, right?
A bucket?
I don't have a bucket.
And the only thing you have handy that's deep enough, I guess.
Dude, I don't have a bucket.
I know.
We had a couple buckets, but they got melted.
I can has bucket.
To walrus one bucket. Yeah, Riff destroyed 2 5-gallon buckets, one of which he managed to
destroy,
set on fire and melt like 6 inches from the house.
Yeah.
Without knowing it. The whole thing just burned into a puddle of plastic 6 inches from the house.
Ashtrays.
And it caught on fire?
Caught on fire, yeah.
From a cigarette?
Well, a cigarette which I imagine lit...
All the cigarette butts.
All the butts and dead leaves and stuff. Oh, yeah,
that smelled delightful while it was going.
Wow, that is so terrifying and gross.
Yeah, it was kind
of... The smell of an ashtray fire is the most disgusting. Like, I would almost rather...
It was outside.
I would almost rather smell bong water than an ashtray fire. And an ashtray fire put out with bong water.
and then a cat comes over and the cat pees in it.
So there was a Slashdot story about...
I was just thinking about that.
That office bridge. An office bridge in which the food got so rotten that the cleanup efforts caused 7 people to be hospitalized.
Wow.
I don't know that I believe that.
Well, there's the story that is told of, like, my fraternity. It got shut down in the late 70s because everybody had decided that they were going to become an anarcho-syndicalist commune, and you only had to pay if you wanted to, so of course nobody paid for anything, and so like all the utilities got shut off, and there was like a refrigerator, it was on the second floor, someone put like a bunch of meat products into it, and it had been, the power had been shut off to the building for like 8 months, so it's just a fridge that had been sort of stewing a bunch of meat for 8 months in Boston, and when they finally recolonized the house and people were going through like cleaning up stuff, apparently the guy that opened the fridge just instantly, spontaneously projectile vomited all over the place. It was so bad.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing they were talking about in the Slashdot thread.
Oh, really?
People's experiences with smells so bad that you just instantly empty your entire intestinal tract or upper GI tract or whatever.
I'm glad that I have never experienced that.
Yeah, I'm glad that I never smelled something so bad that it just made me shit my pants. Because man, the guy behind me...
setting off a dangerous chain reaction. That could be the next M. Night Shyamalan movie or whatever.
Right.
Chain reaction. Yeah. The pants, they're trying to kill us.
Targrod says, question to Jacob, any Manny Pacquiao references? No, because I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Yeah. Wikipedia might.
Yeah, probably.
Smash Brothers says, flea market revamp? I bet, as a Smash Brothers fan, what you want is for flea market. Rather than to, like, tell you what anything costs, you just keep clicking on stuff. And
well, and it gets a percent. It's like this is like 50%.
This item costs 50%, and you're like 50% what? And then you click on it again, and it goes 51%. And then you're like, all right, I bet something is going to happen when I get to 100%. Nope, 101%. Ah, sweet. All right, I click on something else, and then sometimes when you click on one thing, sometimes when you click on another thing, and then eventually.
Sometimes the items get really small, and you're really far away, and sometimes you're like right next to them, and they're huge.
Yeah, you buy an item, and it actually just throws the item up into the air, and sometimes you catch it, but sometimes it's behind the scenery for whatever reason. Anyway, no, I don't want to do that to the flea market. Jeez, what a terrible idea. Mecca says, only having access to each class's titles when you have a particular level seems a waste. How about unlocking them if level 30 trophy is earned? I like the titles as a progression. Tfikdol says, if you were serious about doubling this class spells while having them in class, please, please, please do so, and soon. This is a hard request, not a demand. See, man, I'm telling you. Tfikdol is also a representative of the VC company that we're beholden to, by the way.
Is the disparity so huge that you actually are serious about that?
Yes.
It's not quite that bad. We'd need to think about it a little bit.
But I'm just saying we could do that, and it wouldn't be a big deal. Just like when I said a long time ago, I'm like,
we could make all the skills cost one MP.
We could triple the amount of damage that every combat item in the game does, and no one would ever use them for anything other than the tower in serious play. Like, there are certain things that just doesn't matter. There are certain things that just doesn't. There is no reason for us to not make things feel powerful, right?
People use combat items all the time for certain things.
Items all the time for certain things. I'm just saying it wouldn't, like, break the game. It wouldn't break the Ascension game. It wouldn't, like...
It wouldn't break the Ascension game, but wouldn't they end up being overpowered for more casual players?
It might break the Wind game.
Oh.
It might break the Waves game. Yeah, anyway, you know, so, okay, obviously you'd have to look at it, and it's not just a flat out, because what's half of five? So you can't just, you'd have to make some decisions.
Right.
No, actually, everything that costs five mana right now, and I'm just talking about the eight spells, I'm not talking about, and probably the lowest one wouldn't get reduced at all, because I think it costs, how much mana does it cost? Four? Two? Four? Four?
But you have to remember that there are also, things that reduce mana cost of spells by up to three.
Yeah, but I don't...
And there's also a bunch of stuff that increases spell damage. I mean, like...
Right. No, there is a bunch of stuff that increases spell damage, and so the impact of doubling the base range of the damage on spells is pretty minimal.
All spells also always auto-hit, right? So the danger of overcompensating is that you just create a situation where everyone just starts using spells instead of...
Well, I think that it is possible that a situation in which mist classes in general are killing things exclusively with spells is not the worst situation in the world.
Sure, but are you talking about doing that just for mist classes, or are you talking about doing that for...
I don't know.
Because you were kind of resistant to the whole notion of having at least the spells cost less.
I definitely am. I mean, the spells are already better for their native classes than they are for other classes, right? So, I mean, the same principles would apply. Obviously, I'm not just saying that do this without thinking about it or considering the impact at all. I mean, if it were done, it would be done as a part of a way of kind of differentiating the spells against each other and trying to further differentiate Postomancers from Sorcerers. But I really don't believe that those numbers are unreasonable. I'm not just being funny, right? I really don't believe that those numbers are unreasonable. And it's mostly at the high end. I mean, it could be that the first couple of spells, you know, we're not going to have a spell that costs less than one, and we don't necessarily need to increase the damage of, like, Spaghetti Spear, right? Because that one just doesn't matter. It doesn't get any plus damage from spells or anything anyway, so... I mean, I would obviously not want to create a situation where everyone is always just casting spells all the time and never using any of the other skills, right? So we would... You know, I feel like we can pull this off, right? Like the shield butt nerf that we're planning.
Yeah. Two. What, four? Four? Two?
But,
so like, slacks? Like a pair of pants?
But.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Good radio.
Wet Hot American Summer is awesome. I no longer have any faith in Rotten Tomatoes because I looked up Freddy Got Fingered on Rotten Tomatoes. 11. Fuck that. Could not be wronger.
Oh my god.
I mean, I would. Okay, to be fair, it is possible that everybody. It is possible that Rotten Tomatoes, in the context of the movie Freddy Got Fingered, thinks that it is rating things on a scale of 1 to 10. Because on such a scale, 11 would be an excellent score for Freddy Got Fingered and accurately reflect its masterpiecity. Shummy says, so forum talk on Naval Ring. Do you guys like / want essential gear to be that highly priced? If not, what can you do about it? Reintroduce Naval Rings into Mr. Store, only they don't cost a Mr. A. We said that we would never repeat an item of the month, and something that we weren't charging a Mr. A for would technically not be an item of the month.
I think that would go over like...
We could just put them in a Zap group with Seal Clubbing Clubs.
I'm not in the circle of people that talk about such things, but I do regularly scan the front page of the forum. Are Naval Rings really still considered, or I don't know still, but are they really that necessary?
They definitely are, because of the
I haven't heard anybody talking about them in ages.
Yeah, the Bandersnatch is kind of necessary as well, you know?
Hmm.
For high-end play, the Free Runaways are just super powerful.
Right, Free Runaways, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, it would be nice to be able to duplicate that functionality for new players without making it so you just got twice as much stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Although another accessory or another item of the month equipment piece that had basically the same property as the Naval Ring, because at some point pulls versus Free Runaways, it's not going to make any sense, right?
Well, also we could name that particular enchantment the same and say that it doesn't stack with itself.
Well, except that it's, you'd be able to take one off late. Okay, I see what you're saying. Anything that uses charges of this resource,
right,
draws from the same pool. Yeah.
But you don't want to screw over the people that have invested in the old one.
That's true. Either. That's so true. Basically, we're damned if we do and damned if we don't.
Delicate balancing act.
Naval Rings is never going to stop. Let's see. So that was a question from Shummy. He says, add the ability to search for players without needing to break the hippie stone. You can get to it from sending a K-mail, a couple other places. Oh no, another putt says, why are there still several adventures that have the nopick.gif? Because I am a lazy fucker. Mecha says, what do you think would happen if KOL's source code got released? Well, I think a number of things would happen. First of all 9 of the current undiscovered trophies would immediately get got. There would be a frenzy of wiki editing as people looked at mechanics.
And plurals.
There would be a few things where things that currently use like weird super precise decimals that nobody knows exactly what the formula is because it doesn't matter, those would get updated. I would not be surprised if there were a handful of dupe bugs discovered as a result of exploiting issues with the code that somebody who had a mind that was more exploitory than ours would see an opportunity in. You know, stuff that it would never occur to you to try now. That might not be true. It might honestly be robust enough, having so many layers of coral reef stuck onto the outside of it. I described it. Coral reef method of coding.
the code that cleaned up familiar names, so great. We were discussing that in dev chat yesterday. I hadn't looked at it in years, and CD Moyer was like, wow, this code is crazy. If he were a more vulgar man, he would have said, this code is fucking batshit crazy. Wishbot says, you just got dissed by the transcriptor. I always get dissed by the transcriptor. He's always saying, in parentheses, Jick is a butthole. That's weird, because like, who calls people butthole? John Keel says, will there ever be a pants rack? It is actually, what we're doing is we're developing a really sophisticated AI to add a familiar to the game that behaves exactly like a philanthropist. So, you know, you'll be adventuring and your familiar will disappear for a while, and like one of the general asymmetry forums will be completely wiped out, or you know, it'll make a bunch of like mean racist jokes and get banned.
And then it'll come back wearing a different pair of pants.
Yeah, that'll be the pants rack. So yes, John Keel, 2 weeks. I don't know. I think in 2 weeks we could write a sophisticated enough AI to completely duplicate the functionality of somebody like that. It's not like it's a real person, at least in terms of behavior. You guys aren't helping me with my jokes.
I'm not sure where to go. I guess we could modify Eliza.
It's true. Kitschenius says, when will you let the traveling trader out of the basement? Yeah, he's been pretty naughty.
Yeah.
Demand.
Sorry. Things on deck for him that just kind of fizzled.
Yeah, we did. RDFM says, hey guys, thanks for the accordion thief icons. I knew you could do it. Manegg says, any word on Hobopolis furniture drops? Ultra rare? Semi rare? Have they been implemented yet? They haven't, and we said that we would. And we just kind of dropped the ball.
It's not a ball. It's not like a ballroom or anything.
That'd be funny, though.
Or a disco ball.
Ball pit.
It could be a ballroom where you go in and somebody kicks you in them. In fact, when I get back, I'm making my office into a ballroom. Be warm.
I never thought about this, but there's like, you know, there's the ballroom dancing, and then there's like the at the kiddie like playground type things. There's the like rooms filled with balls, which is also a ballroom. And trying to do ballroom dancing in one of those ballrooms would be really hard, I think.
It would look awesome.
Yeah, I think it would. If you had really lightweight balls that move past each other really easily, like bubbles, basically.
Or like, say, molecules of air.
Right. But bigger.
They're kind of like bubbles that move. I mean, I'm enjoying the sauce. Manegg says, also Nero? What a horrible Romulan name. Glebe says, remember when you said you would make Harpoon and summon Leviatuga better? You gonna do that?
Yes.
Yes. Gorblack says, this Harry Potter argument is the same one you had on the last show I listened to almost 2 years ago. Get over it.
Fine.
Nightmare says, why are there lesbians on Jick's roof, and why does he not believe that they are really there? Yeah. Nightmare kept seeing imaginary lesbians on the roof. What really happened is that there were three girls on the roof, and one of them had a camera. So Nightmare was like, oh, obviously what's going on here is a lesbian photo shoot. Okay, Nightmare. You know, this is a pretty sophisticated city, but, you know.
Three girls, one camera.
Yeah.
You're sort of blowing through these.
Yeah, sorry. Istanbul says, according to J.J. Abrams, the reason he does all of his properties on TV, or all of his new properties on TV and all the old ones as movies, is that Hollywood insists on a property that's virtually guaranteed to make them money, whereas TV will take more chances. Thoughts? Yeah, I mean, that's what is wrong with...
Yeah, that sounds... Yeah.
Is what is wrong with Hollywood.
Well, what do you mean that Hollywood controls insists... Like Hollywood insists on a property that is guaranteed to make money? That's just not true at all.
I mean,
the number of movies that are made each year that are just totally new ideas is probably greater than anything that's in the sets of franchises, you know?
I don't know, man. I feel like it's a lot easier to get a sequel greenlighted than it is something novel.
Sure. No, I mean, I'm not saying that the ease, but there are so many additional ideas out there. I mean, it's like the number of books that are completely novel are kind of just way outstripping anything that's in series form, I think.
Right. Let's see. Justin says, I love Soul Blazer and its spiritual successors, Illusion of Gaia and Terranigma. Great obscure games. Istanbul says, Soul Blazer was a fun game for the SNES. You basically rebuild various worlds as you rescue souls, level up. I remember the final space level with that projectile sword being rad. Yeah, it was a sword that shot guns.
I never played Soul Blazer, but that makes me kind of want to play Soul Reaver again.
Soul Blazer is good. You should get it for an emulator. It's very compelling. Hmm. Copro says, as an on and off player, I miss a lot of holidays, and I recently discovered that one outfit was holiday only and untradeable. What was the decision to add content like this that's completely inaccessible to people who didn't get it when it was available, which sucks for collection freaks? I would argue a couple of things. One, that we didn't actually do that. I don't know what you're talking about. Unless it was like a Crimbo thing, in which case...
I think it would have been a Crimbo thing, yeah.
In which case, we do that every year and always have, right?
Well, no, the original...
It hasn't always been untradeable. Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't always been untradeable. The original Crimbo wrapping paper outfit is tradable, but I don't think anything past that.
I guess the bows were too.
Oh yeah, the bows were. But once we started making them into huge elaborate plot lines, yeah, they all became untradeable.
Wait, what outfit is untradeable? There's no untradeable outfit.
He might be thinking of the Arbor Day stuff, which that's just a non-issue because it's permanent content. Also, I would argue that collection freaks either have to be around for holidays or they have to accept that they're going to suffer, right? Like,
which is only cruel on days that we have holidays unexpectedly.
Sure.
But I guess April 1st is... an exception, because April 1st is always just a holiday.
We should stop this recording because I don't know.
You mean this broadcast?
Oh yeah. All right. Anyway, good night, everybody. We'll see you again next Thursday.
Good night.
Now somewhere in the Black Mountain Hills of Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. One day his woman ran off with another guy, hitting young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm gonna get that boy. So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dreams by stealing the girl of his fancy. Her name was McGill, and she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. Now she and her man, who called himself Dan, were in the next room at the hoedown. A Rocky burst in, and grinning a grin, he said, Danny boy, this is a showdown. He drew fast and shot, and Rocky collapsed in the corner.
proceeded to lie on the table. He said, Rocky, you met your match. And Rocky said, Doc, it's only a scratch. And I'll be better, Doc, as soon as I am able. And now Rocky Raccoon, he fell back in his